And once again, our comrades from the city of Joburg, welcome. Welcome, welcome. Switch off our cellular phones. Please don't put it on silent, vibrate, just switch it off. Because if it rings, whether silent or vibrate, it still have the same effect on the recordings of these proceedings. So for the time that your phone is ringing, whatever is being said is not recorded. So please, for this 2.5 hours or so that we're all going to be here, we can keep our cellular phones off. It will assist all of us, and I think once we're done, we can. We would like to welcome everybody, and by way of starting, request officials to introduce themselves and their departments, as well as National Treasury, and then those of us who are here, members of Parliament, will equally introduce ourselves. The beginning of the fifth Parliament, we're all newcomers. It would be nice to engage, knowing who we're engaging. So we'll just start from here and then go around.
Good morning, Chairperson, members and other colleagues. My name is Clifford Apple from the Department of Social Development.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Xoxeko Phakade, the DG of Social Development.
Good morning, honorable Chairperson and members. My name is Takeriwa Chauke. I'm the acting CFO with SASA.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and the members and the other colleagues from other departments. My name is Tandi Sibanyani and I'm the Head of Corporate Services at SASA.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, my colleagues, my name is Tulozan Magwaza. I'm from TSD, from the Branch of Comprehensive Social Security.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Korombi Bongwe, from the Department of Energy, responsible for electrification program.
Morning, Chair. Honorable Chair, members, colleagues. I'm Fulsi Barnard, Acting Director General of Department of Energy.
Honorable Chair, members. I'm Yvonne Chetty, Chief Financial Officer, Department of Energy.
Good morning, honorable Chairperson, members and colleagues. My name is Justin Daniel from Finance, Department of Energy.
Good morning, Marissa Moore, National Treasury, Public Finance.
Morning, Chair, honorable members. I'm Thabise Mfunda Kobi, the CFO of Water and Sanitation.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Margaret Dietrichs. I'm the Director General for Water and Sanitation.
Just switch on the mic. Talk to it.
Good morning, Honourable Chair. My name is Mark Bletcher. I'm from National Treasury Public Finance on for the social development discussion.
Morning, Chair. My name is Thembekile Plaki, PLO, Minister of Finance.
Morning, Chairperson, members. Nico Mare, I'm from the Parliamentary Office of National Treasury.
You're the only one we know here.
Good morning, Honourable Chair. Rishoke Chomundozo, Parliamentary Officer within DG's Office, Water and Sanitation.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Matlakala Mutong. I'm Head of Communications, Water and Sanitation.
Morning, Chair. My name is Zandile Mathe,
water and sanitation infrastructure.
All right. We also know you too. Welcome. All right. And we are ask comrades, members of parliament, to introduce themselves.
Morning, Chair. My name is Nyameze Lipoi, member of parliament.
Morning, Chair. My name is Saki Kekana. I'm a member of parliament.
Thanks. Good morning, Chair. My name is Mkule Wadle. I'm a member of the committee. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Ntabise Mkuno, member of the committee.
Thank you. I'm Comrade Temba Goti. I chair the committee. Right. I suppose we all have copies of the program. And as per the program, we are starting with the Department of Energy between now and 10 o'clock. As we said yesterday, we are free to underspend on time, but not to overspend on it. Otherwise, it creates some problems for us. So, no unauthorized expenditure on time. So, let's try and keep it. The Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities, they are supposed to be on their way. We had initially thought we were going to sit here for the whole day because we wanted to get done with everything. And so I'm sure you saw your notices that will be from 9 until 5 o'clock. So the letter that was sent to them was minus the 9 and only had the 5. So they were going to leave Joburg at 11 today so as to be here at 5, but we fortunately they were able to understand, and hopefully they will be joining us very soon. Right, we have the letter from National Treasurer, actually signed by the minister. Want firstly National Treasury to talk to it or to talk to us about their findings as detailed as they can be, and then I'm sure any other further details the department will then be in a position to elaborate more. But let me hand over to
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Members. The request in front of the committee is with regards to unauthorized expenditure in the 10-11 financial year. The Minister of Finance has recommended that the committee recommends the condonement of the unauthorized expenditure. Maybe I can just go back in time and give you a sense of the context in which this expenditure took place. We are talking about 14.86 million. The context of this expenditure was in terms of the split between what was then the Department of Minerals and Energy, was split into the Department of Minerals and Affairs and the Department of Energy. That it was at the end of the 2019 financial year. At that point, there was a payment made to a municipality for the Integrated National Electrification Program, which was incorrectly, the bank details were incorrect on the, I think, the first payment, and at the second payment, the name of the municipality had changed. So, in effect, the payment didn't go through for the year 10-11 as it was budgeted for, and the payment was eventually made in the 2010-11 year, which then led to over-expenditure on that program. The
money was therefore spent on the correct transaction, so it was paid to the correct municipality, it was used for the correct purpose, and the failure was actually for the department to not have requested a rollover so that the money could be appropriated in the correct financial year, and which would have then saved them from that over expenditure. In light of those details, sir, and without any further ado, but open to any questions, that is the background of the recommendation.
So it all had to do with the wrong banking details or money, not. But like you're saying, why didn't the department request a rollover? Because then that would have saved us this meeting. Not that we don't appreciate having you before us, but I'm just saying.
See, our understanding, and I'm sure the CFO can confirm, was that the books was being finalized in the central administration of the Department of Minerals and Energy. So when they shifted, the understanding of what went wrong with the payment was in one department, but the consequences of that those problems with the payment ended up in energy. And by the time they realized this is for them to do, the rollover would have been finished. So it was the problem was, could have been solved with the rollover, but the underlying problem was a miscommunication with the shifting of the departments in terms of the financial administration function. We have been convinced, and we now know that the department is on top of the rollover request after that. Thank you.
All right. Comrades, any... Yes, Slengwa.
Thank you, Chairman. It's just a technical question, really. On the issue of the municipal name change, I see here that it's in Thunjaneni municipality, as far as I know. The municipality has always been Umthonjane and has never changed names. Can we just get a clarity on that? Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. In one instance, the name change on the bank was from municipality to municipaliteit, the Afrikaans version of municipality. So technically, that didn't get accepted on the BAS system in the verification process. So that was a very, a technical error just on the Afrikaans to English derivative of the name. Thanks.
Was there ever an explanation on why there was that change from municipality to municipalitate? If it had changed to Umthonjeni Maspala, would understand. But anyway, that's more of a technical question. Yeah. All right. Can we pass this one, comrades?
Yes.
See? Okay. That's fine. So we now understand what happened. But we're not saying we're accepting what National Treasury is saying. We'll still sit and decide, but we've had you. We've had you. Thanks. We're doing well on time. Social development.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable members. This input pertains to the Department of Social Development in the 2007-8 year, and in particular its overspending on social grants in Program 2 of the department. So, Honourable Chairperson, in 2007-8, this is not overspending against the vote as a whole. In fact, the vote underspent as a whole by 37 million. This is overspending against Program 2 on the vote, which was 24.1 million, and particularly within that, on social grants of 26.1 million within that program too. So it's over expenditure within a program of a vote. This
Overspending on social grants, Honourable Chairperson, in this year pertained in the context of a massive increase in the child support grant. So the expansion of the child support grant from 11 to 14 years started in the 2005 year. 2.2 million children were taken up in the 2 years after that, and the anticipation was that most of the uptake would then be done through that stage. At the same time, there are large fluctuations and unpredictability month to month in the conditional grants, which always make 100% accurate projections on social grants uptake impossible. In this context, in 2007-08, an additional 360,000 children took up the child support grant, which is a take-up rate of 82%, which is the highest of any year before or after. So, Honourable Chairperson, the uptake on social grants it's a statutory entitlement, it's demand-driven, and government can never know exactly how many people will take up grants within a given month. These behavioural aspects of the program, by its nature, make it unpredictable. And apart from this, there are issues like back pay, application complexities, and other risks that have to be factored into the projections. Chairperson, even a 1% variability in grant uptake can affect spending by as much as R1 billion, given this is over R100 billion spending per year. In this case, overspending of R26 million against the budget is a 0.04% variation, which is a very tiny variation on such a huge social grant budget. The recommendation, Honourable Chairperson, of the Treasury to yourself and this committee is that this overspend cannot directly be held, be related to the negligence or lack of oversight of any person, and that approval be granted in terms of Section 34(1) of the PFMA to authorise the overspending as a direct charge against the NRF, and that this be approved with funding. Chairperson, interestingly, in the current year, the same problem is taking place with child support grants, where in the last 2 to 3 months, the uptake of child support grants has been considerably higher than expected. As much as 150,000 children have taken up child support grants, more than was projected by the department. And in this context, the current models project over expenditure for next year of the order of around R600 million, which will have to be watched very closely in the monthly meetings between the departments. But in that context, we do recommend that if the committee agrees, that funding would be a reasonable recommendation. I think perhaps I could stop there, Chair.
Well, you just intimidated me with the R600 million that is still coming. To say R26 million is nothing. All right. Yes, Comrade Boy, and then Comrade Kuno.
So what you are saying from Treasury, both of you, that inefficiency should be an acceptable trend in how you deal with this type of argument that they're presenting in front of us, dealing with energy and dealing with social development, that from your point of view, 26 million in the fiscus of the poor is nothing. We should ignore it. That's what they are telling us from National Treasury. It's inefficiency. And are you saying to us that we should not condemn inefficiency? We should accept it. That you'll always have this type of challenge, that you just go about spending the money of the poor in the manner that you think. Well, I don't think that's the correct attitude that they're presenting us with. Is that what National Treasury is telling us? That inefficiency should be the norm of government. Well, this is inefficiency that they are presenting in front of us now. And the 26 million that remains unaccounted for. And then you are saying that it's going to look for it in national revenue. Equally, in energy says, no, it was a small mistake, just accept it and continue. Is it how Treasury is looking at government should be run? This is what I want to first to hear from you.
Okay, Comrade Kuno.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have a similar concern. We have, the presenter said there's no way that they'll be able to budget for grants, because that's what you said. There's no way. In fact, it means every year we'll be having this kind of a problem. We have Statistics South Africa, which checks the household incomes. We have your, you know, a lot of people that have been paid to check how our South Africans living daily. You know, you have your community development officers who, I suppose, they should be going house to house and check these things. You have your Home Affairs. Everybody, are you saying we are not coordinated? Are you saying Statistics South Africa will be giving a lot of money to try and check that this kind of mistakes don't happen, and nothing has been done? We do not coordinate. Or what are you really saying? Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Can we have a response?
Thank you, Chair. The Honourable Member Boy is correct. There has been inefficiencies. These inefficiencies speak to the financial management systems within, in this case, the Department of Energy, where the PFMI allows for processes to fix when you have committed money at the end of the year, but the money hasn't flown out of your account yet, to correct that from an accounting side, so that you can actually roll the money over into a new year and then correctly account for it. It was important for us, before we could recommend to you, that those problems that was in the department's financial management system has been fixed, and they have given us the insurance that the misalignment was only due to the department shift. It is no longer within their system. The second issue that is important for us is to understand whether there was any impropriety, any loss of value to the country or to the state, or whether there was any wasteful expenditure. And in this case, there wasn't. The money was allocated for a municipality. In the end, all of that money was paid for the municipality. It was allocated for electrification, and it was paid for electrification. So the state suffered no loss. But in the books of the department, that money wasn't properly accounted for, which then reflects an over expenditure. So the Honourable Member is right, there is an inefficiency, but we did make sure that the department had addressed the inefficiency in making this recommendation.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, members. There is a great deal of information, data, and of coordination. Both SASSA and the Department of Social Development and National Treasury each run independent social grant projection models to model social grants expenditure, and meet very regularly to go through those models, and also bring in a lot of external experts to review those models with the latest technical methodologies and data. The biggest problem, Honourable Chairperson, is that there is an inherent unpredictability by recipients in uptake. It's that unpredictability that's very, very difficult to manage within the system, because it depends on how many mothers bring their children that month to the registration point. And that's the difficulty we have to deal with. So, Honourable Chairperson, to some extent, we realize that unpredictability, and so we then pose the question, how much of it, in a sense, a cushion should one place above the base projection for unpredictability, for uncertainty? Even a 1% cushion, Chair, would be a billion rand. A 0.5% cushion would be 500 million rand. So we're talking about huge amounts of money that would be sitting there unused if we had a substantial cushion. So as times get very tight, as they do in the current budget, Honourable Chairperson, we're able to have a smaller and smaller cushion. But as we decrease the cushion, just that this unpredictability, we face the problem of this unpredictability and uptake, and we struggle jointly with dealing with that unpredictability, Honourable Chairperson.
Thanks, Chairperson. Is the unpredictable, I forgot what you said, unpredictable word, is it the problem of the new intakes, or is it the problem of the people who are already in the system? We have more people coming in, because I know from my constituency, you will find that there will be people who will be coming to my constituency and say, we did not get grants. I know at some stage there will be people who will be taken off the system. I don't know what will be wrong with the system. Are you saying the unpredictable is because of the new intake or the people who are already there? Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Member Chair, the DG and CFO and SAS members could comment further, but it's predominantly in the new uptake. But for example, if I could give, for example, the problem within the current year, just perhaps an illustration. So last year, as many as 500,000 people were taken off the social grant system during the re-registration campaign. And some of those people will come back, but it's very difficult. There's a great deal of unpredictability of how many will come back. And unfortunately, it's just that uncertainty which will always play out in the numbers. We can deal with it by trying to give a little bit of space, but there is always a tiny fraction of a percentage of uncertainty. In this case, that fraction is 0.04%. As I say, the potential overrun, because child support grant numbers can actually vary as much as 100,000 people compared to what was predicted, and it's just unfortunate that there is enormous unpredictability when one has 18 million children. One has great unpredictability of how many mothers will bring their children every month to register.
Right, Comrade Boy, and then Zangwa.
I'm sure, sir, you'll understand our own predicament, because as it comes, it doesn't come from you, it also comes from the Auditor General. And it does seem to be a problem, you see, because it does seem that the model that they're presenting to us of uncertainty, it means that it's a model that we would have to, after 20 years, we'll have to live another 20 years for you to be able to find a solution when it comes to these particular issues of grants. Now, are you saying, Treasury, that you don't have a way of being able to tell us or to be able to take it off? Because the fact that it is called unauthorized expenditure doesn't make you to escape the fact that we have to be critical of why should such an amount be left to a question of uncertainty. Why do you understand as members of parliament, as a society, should you accept your argument that your model is not a workable model? That's why the Auditor General continues to see it as a problem. So it means that even next year and that year, we'd always have to sit here and wait for you to come and tell us that it's because of uncertainty. I mean, I'm not convinced, I must tell you quite frank, because the state South Africa that is running states in South Africa, and they also model and come up with people and say this is what is going on. So what is your parameter of your approach? I mean, Treasury, you are supposed to be the best institution in the country. You can't tell us that based on this is supposed to be unacceptable. You could be able to say to us a billion next year and we should wait here. And you don't even have management mechanisms that you are proposing of how to deal with this particular environment. You want us to start just work on the basis of acceptability that there's uncertainty. It's like climate change. It's been announced so many years. But at least I do know scientists have been able to predict correctly what will happen in 5 to 10 years' time. What is your model? What is the sense? Give us a sense of making us to be for sure to be able to convince the public that this type of amount is not open to fraudulent exposures. What exactly is going on here? I will go back to the department, but I thought that you'll be the torch bearer of being able to protect the fiscus from abuse.
Thanks, Chair. I'm finding it very difficult to accept, the blanket statement of unpredictability as the alpha and omega of this problem, because it then points to poor planning in one way or the other. The census has been done, there's 53 million South Africans. Surely then you know that you can't plan. You're not going to plan for 56 million South Africans, or you're going to plan for 45 million South Africans. The numbers are there. Why are they not being used? Because now, they speak about the re-registration process to say 500,000 people are off the system. Should we then sit here and expect that, well, We're not sure what those people will do, so we're just going to have another aspect of unpredictability to say in the next year they will have to, you know, come back here and deal with the issue of another 500,000 people that are off the system. I mean, surely when the policy decisions are taken, that's all right, we are upping the ages from this age to the next age of people, you should have the numbers of how many people you are planning for. So really, I mean, the adage is that failing to plan is planning to fail, and that's why we're here, and now we must come and correct that. I really don't think that it's fair on us to, you know, be given just a blanket statement of unpredictability in a vacuum and not actually speaking to the systems of correction that have been put in place.
Okay. Maybe let's hear from the department. Because at the end of the day, they are the ones who...
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. I think maybe just two important things I want to clarify. I think the questions of the members are spot on. Doc Bletcher, I think, clarified the whole issue about the model and the uncertainties and so on. But just to give context, when SASSA was established in 2006, I think we had enormous time that we invested to develop these tools. In fact, as he was indicating, we worked with a number of experts who assisted us in designing a projection and a forecasting model. It indeed takes into cognizance the trends and also the information and stats that we collect from Stats SA and other reliable sources. Chair, in 2007-08, I think just to give context, if we have so many, for instance, we've got different grant types. We know that for children's grants, we have so many children that are below the threshold, the poverty threshold, and so on. And then we know that we are predicting that there's so many children that will be coming into the system. We also monitor the take-up rates to see if, in fact, we are making progress. Now, the actual complexity also in 2008 is that when we were still phasing in, remember government took the decision that the child grants must be increased to 18 years. So in that period, it was the incremental years when we were phasing in the CSG. So there, actually, the most unpredictability comes in because you then rely on your marketing strategies. In fact, we had at the time mobile solutions where we were going to communities to try and find those children where they are. If you look at where we are now, this thing happened in 2007-08, and with the tool that I think is one of the best tools, Chair, that we have in the country. In fact, other countries are coming to actually learn from us. We are members of the International Social Security Association and so on. They actually ask that we go and present these modules to them. So we have not had a situation like this ever since, and we don't foresee in the immediate future, because the old age grant has now been equalized, the child support grant has now reached 18, so we have somehow plateaued. Probably when there will be a new policy shift again, then we could probably face additional challenges. So I just needed to give that context to say members must not perhaps be too concerned that this matter is likely to recur. As I indicated, we're now in 2014-15 and we have not put a government into this context. But I think the facts about projections and also variances that if you're dealing with 120 billion, a slight variation might also have an impact on you, makes us to be sitting on our toes to make sure that the accuracy of the information, and we monitor also on a month-to-month basis as we progress the implementation. Thank you, Chair.
I suppose it gives further context to unpredictability. Yes,
Congressman. No, I accept what the DG says. It does. You see, but the uncomfortability continues, you see. When National Treasury says it is impossible to forecast exactly how many grants will be paid in any given year, you see. So it doesn't close your case in the manner you're presenting it, you see. The Treasury is saying this thing can happen anyway. So that is the problem, you see. Because what you are saying is not what they are saying. A little bit of a contradiction, and he's basing that analysis on the modality that is the model that he's talking about. So it does widen the gap between your own argument and what Treasury is saying. And the torchbearer is Treasury more than your department, you see. Because at the end of the day, we are watching what Treasury is guiding us about. Now, Treasury is telling us that, no, no, listen to what social development is saying, but we, where we're standing, you are continuously having this gap. And that's the argument that I'm fighting about. That does National Treasury stand towards its word, or do they support what they're saying, you see? Because at the end of the day, they are the ones that were asking us to accept that this thing, will, I mean, with the money that has now been presented to us, should be condoned or anything should be done. But at the end of the day, when there's contradiction between us and National Treasury, you are the one that has to be blamed, you see. So National Treasury needs to clarify its own statements. But this is what National Treasury has done, you see. And we are standing on the ground of National Treasury more than arguing on the basis of what you are saying, you see. It's a contradiction, and they do accept the fact that you do have contradictions. So National Treasury must help us. Will it ever happen, National Treasury? After even the social development has given an explanation. Is this what we are saying? That we should continuously, this government and the public in South Africa, accept that 26 million or 1 billion will ever happen again? But that's what you are saying. It's in your statement. I'm reading what is in National Treasury statement.
Comrade Kuno? Comrade Kuno, and then
Thanks, Chair. I agree with Comrade Boy on what he has just said. I think we really need to improve communication, especially when we come before the committee, because you are miscommunicating the real facts. And I think what the DG has just said now from social development does make sense, because my question was going to be if a few, maybe let's say 10 people who have registered their children for child support grant and they get jobs, then what then happens? Then it means the system is prone to fraud. You know, because people, I mean, if you are getting extra money, you won't go to social development and say, listen, I have a job now, so I'm cancelling my name off the system. But you have systems in place to make sure that if I get a job and I have applied for social grant, then I will be taken off the system. Thanks, Chair.
Right,
I hear what the DG is saying, and he almost makes a compelling case. And I say almost because I then put a comma on the basis of what Treasury says about people off the system who might or might not come back. So my question very much, you know, is rooted on systems. And I mean, now then Honorable Kuno makes another compelling case, the fluctuations. How are those being managed of people coming in and out of the system? With, you know, what linkages are there with sector departments to make sure that the correct recipients are receiving the grants? There's the issue of eBog, which is a major problem. Now, you'll find that maybe the money that in this 26 million rand here, there's a fair share of eBog in that 26 million rand. So, I mean, I hear what the DG is saying, but I'm compelled to put a comma on the basis of what Treasury has said.
Yeah, I think, let's also bear in mind, comrades, the fact that it's 26 million in the 2007-2008 financial year. And since then to date, there has been no unauthorized expenditure. Yes, comrades.
You see, Chair, I would accept the argument when there's stagnation in government. We're dealing with dynamic. It's a society, it's mobility, it's moving on. And we've got planned as government, you see. So whatever experiences that are there in government are very important for us to be able to learn from that experience. And the question of unauthorized expenditure, it's a block in the name of government, in the name of the administration. That what type of an administration can manage its own affairs. This is what this thing says. That's why it's important for us to know, and parliamentarians must always be vigilant to know exactly what are the challenges that confront this government. Why I'm raising it is because if we do a projection of saying that the National Development Plan in 2030, we want to see its implementation, where will social development be, and what would unauthorized expenditure would mean for that particular development? You see, what would an efficient state mean? What does a developmental state mean when it does have such legacies of inefficiencies? These are quite a lot of questions that get unraveled in this particular approach. And if our modalities are not correct, the type of models that we use to be able to put numbers and crush and bring them towards the fiscals, there's something wrong with us as a government. And that's what this thing says. It says that there's something wrong that, the Treasury doesn't have an efficient way of assisting us to be able to maintain our approach of saying that in 2030, the ordinary men and women should be able to judge us that we have been able to meet our targets. You see, there's questions of expectations. When we came into government in 1994, we created expectations. And this type of an approach with a model that doesn't work, it does create expectation. What they are saying to us that there will be a gap of allowing in the fiscal, that there should be $1 billion that is hanging around so that whoever gets pregnant and then gets something to be done. I don't think that is best planning for any government to be able to do that. That's why the National Planning Commission is here. So there's an integration. There's an integral approach that is supposed to be taken here when we deal with this type of debate. While we're debating one unauthorized, but it's not unauthorized because it talks about the whole government of what type of systems are in place to be able to assist us to project a better government that will be able to be developed when it comes to 2030. And that's the question that we're raising. And as I'm saying that, the barometer of that test that we're making progress in the National Development Plan is Treasury. And if Treasury says to us now, in 2013, that accept in our model that there will always be a gap of a fiscal that will be spent randomly or will be waiting there, accept that model, not even presenting to us that they will be able to change the type of model that we are presenting, live with uncertainty as long as life is going on. You must understand that they're saying to the ordinary men and women that it's not just a good presentation and a good impression of a good government or a good administration that knows its responsibilities.
Okay.
That's the point.
All right. but I think the fundamental question, DG, we've heard this part and we've seen your additional presentation that gives more details. I think the concern from the side is, do we have enough safeguards to minimize the recurrence? Because as we move forward, you can see we moved from having a surplus in our budget in the past to where we are now. It looks like it's going uphill. So we need you to live here with that sense that our backs are covered.
You're very interesting, Chair. In fact, it reminds me of the earlier days when we were still testing the model and also rolling it out. I think the question from Honourable Member is very important, because the question we ask ourselves when we develop these models is, what could go wrong? What are the parameters that we need to be factored in into the model? We know the general attrition issues, people die, people get born, and so on and so on. But for instance, if you had a campaign where you are cleaning up, you know, illegitimate beneficiaries and so on, and then you say so many have been taken off the system, we monitor those trends to look into, in fact, SASA is here, Chair, I cannot even talk on their behalf, to look into what is the rate of error, the margin of error sometimes that you might have taken somebody off the system, all right, who probably for one reason or another, at the time of review, that person did not have the authentic documents and so on. So you have to factor all those things in the model. Without understanding the key elements of the model, it might be difficult, because you grow the model. It's not a static thing. Every year we pick up, you know, further developments. We factor them in the model so that we don't, rather we reduce the possible rate of error. Or what you call the margin of a standard deviation from what should be the accurate projection. So those are the kind of things that are there. I'm not sure that the CFO may want to add, then just to clarify further.
Thanks, Dreje. Also, in terms of just speaking to remember with regards to the integration, in order to ensure that we don't have fraudulent grants in the system, particularly people that get back into the employment sector. Our systems do integrate with Home Affairs in terms of new child births. We make sure that we integrate with UIF, the Road Accident Fund, the SARS, so that we also then make sure that we, in terms of the means test, so we try to pick up when people come in back into the employment system or where there's earnings. And also the whole issue about new births, because I mean those kids that live in poor communities, we try also to make sure that we bring them into the system. Chair, just with regards to the unpredictability also in the system, when we started the process, one must also remember that the child support grant was the default grant. You find a lot of times right now in the system, and we try to pick these things up through our systems, there are kids that are supposed to be on foster care, which is a higher grant, that's on the child support grant. There are kids that are supposed to be on a disability grant, which is on the child support grant. Those factors we also now try to work out, because, I mean, we know through our systems there were fraudulent activities with regards to doctors in the system where people were certified disabled, that's actually not disabled, where we find it's kids that's supposed to be disabled and the doctor decided that person, the child is not disabled. So that type of unpredictability is still in the system, and we try also to work that through our reconsiderations process. We also put in place huge amount of doctors in the system to make sure that we try to bring those things back. Another thing also, Chairperson, is that through the registration process, and that process also eliminate a whole lot of fraudulent grants out of the system, but not necessarily all of those grants were fraudulent. A lot of the times, because of the biometrics that we want the child present at the registration, a lot of parents could not have the child present. But that was also another issue, because the grant follows the child, and we find a lot of times that the kids are living with granny while the mother receives the grant in Gauteng. And that also makes sure that we also address that problem so that the grant can follow the child. So, for instance, that child was not present where the mother went for registration. But now those children are coming back because now the child is with granny. Granny presents the child so that we can correct that situation. So, but in fact, that part we actually manage, because we know that the number of grants that we've terminated, and that is then stays static in our budget, so that we make provision when those things come back. Thanks.
All right. Choke. That's also good.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. I think the DG has allowed that.
Maybe I understood, Choke. I didn't make a kicker, so that when you respond, we close the...
Now, thanks, Chair. Chair, mine is not on the unpredictability as indicated by the department. But my biggest worry listening to the two departments is it seems there is no coordination between the departments. Maybe that needs to be clarified. That immediately after the pronouncement from the Auditor General, is there a process where departments meet? Because I think that National Treasury will have to, if they are to present, that is something to us, consult with the relevant department concerned. Because the information that we have received now, if we received that information that is prior, obviously we wouldn't have raised the questions that we are raising. But understanding where National Treasury is coming from, it clearly indicates in my mind that there was no engagement between National Treasury and social development. Am I correct in that conclusion?
All right. Let's have a response, and then you make your additions, Chauke, and then we'll close this.
Just on the integration.
That what whatever was said should not disqualify us from social grants when we leave Parliament.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. Well, no, we won't be biased, Chair. We will make sure that we apply the rules to the letter. Well, on the integration, I think this part of the department's budget, because of its significant nature, we almost meet so frequently, because Treasury has deployed people, specific individuals that are budget controllers, who meet with us and also meet with SASSA on a frequent basis to unpack the issues. And in fact, as he was indicating earlier, there's two similar models that we check against each other to make sure that our figures and numbers come close together. But obviously, we are the custodians, we are the people doing the work. You know, there are things that we don't expect. In fact, even myself, there are things I may not know more than SASSA, who are the actual operators of the system. Because in 2 months' time, there are things that I may still be thinking about the old, and then they have already moved in terms of looking at innovations. So I think we do have, as we're indicating also, we're very close now working with other departments like Home Affairs on the population register, to make sure that also we, as we move towards electronic payments and biometrics, we are interfacing with those departments frequently.
Yeah, Honourable Chair, I think I just need to concur with what the DG has indicated. Once we have done the simulations from SASSA, we sit with DSD and we discuss it, and we sit with Treasury and discuss it. Even the trends themselves currently, we sit actually on a quarterly basis to look at the trends and what needs to happen and what causes what movement at that particular point. We're quite comfortable with the interface between what's happening. Just like I can give an example of what is happening now, because we know that government has taken actually the issue of the means test on the old age. You understand that we're going to that direction, that we're going to take off the means test. It's an issue that we know that it has a huge financial implications for government. So we are busy actually looking at how we're going to deal with it. And we have looked at to say that whether do we really go as a blanket or we're going to go on a phased approach. And that those discussions are happening. Make sure that actually if a person reaches the age of 60, then he's not going to look at the means test. So we understand that it's going to really have impact a lot of issues in that regard. So there are those consultations in that regard. My understanding of what Treasury was trying to maybe bring to the committee, it was only the issue of saying, to what extent do you bring a cushion, what is talking about the cushion, to say that if ever then SASSA and DSD, they are saying, well, we're thinking that actually the average at the end of the year would be 100,000 people that will come into the system. That Treasury gives that total amount as we have projected. Or Treasury said, no, because there are so many needs in the country, then we're going to really try to give you actual project at 90,000. I'm not going to give you 100. And if they do that, and if the numbers comes to that, then there will be an issue of the issues relating to that. You will see that what the argument could be based on, I don't want to speak on their behalf, could be that issue. If you look at the savings that we have had over the 2006, 7, and 8, and 9, the question is that money that actually was actual kept with the department, if Treasury has decided to take that money and said, I'm going to reduce your cushion, then probably would have gone into an unauthorized agreement. But if it's kept in that department, then another program of government needed that money that actually is part of the savings. So it's the issue that we need to say the simulation and the model itself must be able to cover that area in that regard. But I can say to the committee, we have got enough consultations and safeguards in relation to what the simulations are. The monthly meetings and also the quarterly meetings that we have with Treasury, because we do meet with them regularly, so to understand the impact and the projections and where we need to go. Where we need to guide, we'll be able to guide each other at that particular instant. I think the DG has clarified the issue in terms of the year 2007 and 2008, and that put the context in terms of what actually led to the 26 million over expenditure. Right. Hence, we're recommending that probably we should be able to really ask the committee to condone the irregular expenditure, the unauthorized expenditure.
Okay. Right. Thank you very much. thanks to the department as well as SASA, we've heard you, and we've heard you well. But the decision is still ours to make at some point. We'd like to welcome the Department of Women, Children, and People with Disabilities. Welcome. And we know that you were the unfortunate ones who had the times upside down, and want to really thank you for having been flexible enough to make it in time. We left the 9. Initially we thought it was going to take us the whole day, but it looks like we're not overspending on time. We were right within time. So thanks for having made the effort to be here on time. Right, can we go to water and sanitation?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The water and sanitation issue is a over expenditure on a standard chart of account issue. So if you look at the outcome, and it is in the 2005-06 financial year, so if you look at the audited outcomes, you'll see that there was no over expenditure on a program level, but there was over expenditure in their transfers in Program 3, as well as their goods and services and transfers in Program 4. The total over expenditure was 3.789 million. The committee will know that this is a budget of about 3.9 billion for that year. The National Treasury recommends that the Standing Committee on Public Accounts condone this unauthorized expenditure and provides for it in a finance bill as a direct charge against the National Revenue Fund. Very similar to the Department of Energy, the Department of Water Affairs could have prevented this unauthorized by shifting money from another program because there was under expenditure in the total vote for the year. And they would have been able to shift money to either just from themselves or through a environment approved by Treasury to clean this over expenditure.
But why didn't they do that? Because, I mean, from what you're saying.
Jay, I think that is a question that we should ask the department. We have not got any reasons for that neglect. But also similar to the previous case, the money that was spent, 3 million or 3.789 million, was spent on the planned activities. It was a research program, largely on sanitation. And again, there was no loss to the country. There was no wasteful expenditure or any impropriety action. But it also comes down to weak financial management to ensure that the correct monies are allocated for the correct SCOA items. Thank you, Chair.
No, Chair, already there is a question directed to the department. And maybe the department should also indicate to us, I know that it is a new department, whether do they have systems now to deal with such issues? Yeah. Can we hear from the department? Okay, maybe before that, come report.
I'll usually go back to Treasury. Can't leave Treasury in these matters because Treasury is supposed to having the mechanism of having transitional arrangements. What are you having in place to deal with transitions? Because it does seem that, I mean, cabinet has now grown. Quite clearly that in the way that cabinet has now grown, are you going to come back and again tell us the same story and say condone it
and so condone inefficiency. It's a very good story to tell. Is this what you want us to learn from the Treasury? That, I mean, boy, this is what has happened. It continues happening. Yesterday we were dealing with the president. You see, the problem is that when it's called unauthorized, it creates an impression that there's inefficiency and there's corruption, you know. And we see to be explaining to the broad public that why do we have to look and have this type. I mean, I look at the story today in the Cape Times about how we're dealing with the matters of the president. All the political explanation, they didn't carry water with what their own understanding is of inefficient government. It's National Treasury saying to us that we're inefficient.
Yeah, National Treasury, but also like to get from it. I don't know, and hopefully, but let not preempt, because the new department, the DG might say, well, I was working for Transnet at that time, I was not there, because it's a technical thing. People should just have done firemen. That's it. There was no over expenditure in the total budget, actually. So they should have. There was no problem that should have brought us here.
Chair, I think the honourable member is correct that we should be more vigilant, especially in cases where we shift departments or shift functions between departments. And as you know, there's been shifts, and a lot of them will be affected in this financial year. So I do think that the Treasury will take heed of that caution to say that we should sit with the departments. I think that was proposed. That's a good idea, and to ensure that what was done in this year by one department's finance people must be communicated properly to the next department's finance people, so that they can either roll the money over or do the correct thing when they finalise those books. Because that we stand the chance of those risks, and I'm appreciative of the conundrum that people hear unauthorised and immediately in their mind it's corruption, and they don't understand that a lot of the issues are accounting issues. That has no financial implications, but for good management, obviously needs to be taken care of, and we will use that caution. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, thank you very much. just to comment that actually I there's a thing called successor in law, so whether you are here or not, it becomes your issue to answer. So I accept that, and. As a matter of fact, just for this interest, I was not working at Transnet, but I do come from the province of Gauteng. I was the director general there, and the only reason I mention it is to amplify the issues that Treasury raises. At Gauteng, what we did was we worked very closely with our provincial treasury in the unfolding of the audit process, because they would be able to pick up things perhaps we would not be able to. So it becomes very much a joined process of auditing. If there's an oversight on the part of a department in doing a legitimate environment to clean up the books and to balance it, they'll be able to alert us to it. And vice versa, we will constantly be engaging with the provincial treasury in terms of how we are going about our business. So I would say in this space and in regard to this specific event, let's concede as a department that it should not have happened. We should have been able to preempt it, and we should have done the environment. So let us concede on that one. Let me also indicate that I think that working much more closer with Treasury, so that we are able then to seek the approval in time, because it's an approval process. We can't just do the environment. We must seek approval from Treasury to do the environment. They must agree to it, and then it's effected. So we must be able to do that very early on. But it will also be, I think, important for Treasury then to take note of where some of these anomalies are lying and to alert us to it. So it can't just be a one way you apply, because as you say, as members of our, you were going to ask Treasury, what is it as the custodian of the oversight mechanism in in government? Why did you not deal or alert departments to it too? So they are the flip side of a coin. We are enjoined in ensuring that we have robust controls with regards to our management of the resources, and that we apply accounting practices that are acceptable. So I will certainly engage much more closer with them going forward. The question about, and is the new department satisfied that it has managed this process going forward and that it has systems and mechanisms in place to ensure that it does not recur? Just to indicate, the proof is in the pudding, of course, Chair. And subsequent to this event, this department had not had any other unauthorized expenditure. So I am certainly satisfied that indeed it has moved to ensure that it does not happen again. But I'll allow the CFOs to also speak to it if, Chair, they have anything else to add. Thank you very much.
I think so far as relates to the 3 million, I think really it's quite a straightforward issue, except that in the document that you have prepared, slide 5, shows another amount which is not in the briefing by National Treasurer, another expenditure on Program 4, Forestry. Is it something that is still coming to us?
Chair, just to respond to that, it is made up of the 3.782. If you add the program 3, which was 3 million, and for program 4 for forestry, it's 778,000. Chair, I need to correct that. It's not million, but it's 778,000 rands. It was at a time when department was Department of Water, Affairs and Forestry. Thanks, Chair.
So instead of million, we must erase that and put a K. Oh, I almost fell out of my chair. All right, so comrades, on slide 5, it is not 778 million, but it's 778,000. All right, thank you very much. And we always have these contradictory feelings of go, sin no more, but we do want to be visited, otherwise we'll be running out of a job if people don't come. We'll be disbanded. thanks very much. Can we now have the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Gideon Wilson. I'm responsible for the budget of the Department of Women.
Just pull the mic closer to you. Yeah.
I will do a short presentation, and I'm sure that the department will add if there's any information outstanding. Thank you, Mr. Chair. We received a letter from the department on the 2010-11 unauthorized expenditure, and we received the letter on 10 January 2012. This letter was based on a report from the AG in the 2010-11 annual report. The Treasury responded to the letter to the department on the 7th of February 2012. This letter indicated our recommendation of the treatment of the in relation to the unauthorized expenditure. The over-expenditure occurred in Program 1, that's administration, and Program 2, that is Women Empowerment Program. The total over-expenditure on the vote was 3.79 million. Just to give the committee a breakdown of the over expenditure, it relates to traveling and subsistence expenditure regarding the attendance of the department of a session of the United States United Nations Commission on the Status of Women in March 2012. The responsibility of the department there was to participate in various conferences and workshop of the session, and also to make country presentations. The total over expenditure relating to the to that activity was 674,000. There was 9 delegates of the department attending the conference for an average period of 14 days. And then the second part of the over expenditure is the celebration of the National Women's Day in Cape Town. The over expenditure there was 2.593 million. And the expenditure was on catering and transport, and there was about 28,000 delegates attending.
How many delegates?
28,000 delegates attending the conference. At the time, before the Women's Department took over the event, the budget was the Department of Arts and Culture, but there was no request from the department to transfer budgets from that department to the women's department. And then the third part of the expenditures on cellular phone communication of 449,000. I need to explain that when the department was formed, it was a shift from the presidency. And the cell phone policy that applied to the presidency was also taken over by the Department of Women. So the cell phone policy was not in line with the policies of the other national departments. There was a problem with regard to the limits that were set on cell phone costs, and also in relation to the ranks of people that the cell phone cost was paid to. I think we worked with the department to get that right. So the department realigned their cell phone policy in line with the other national departments. Our recommendation is that we cannot condone this expenditure. The department should have put control measures in place to avoid this over expenditure. The department could have avoided expenditure by looking at the number of delegates attending the reviewing the number of delegates attending the conference, and also aligning their policies to fit in with the allocated budget. Our recommendation is that this overexpenditure should be a charge against the department's budget.
The unauthorized expenditure is essentially 3.7 million. Chile? Is that correct? 3.7. And of that, 2.5 million is for the hosting here in the Western Cape of Women's Day.
I won't go to the trivialities of what takes place. I'm interested in the solution by Treasury. I'm interested in Treasury. I'm not interested in the department. Don't you foresee a problem when we take from their budget? Because it does seem that it's a new department. It does seem that it's not been able to find its own infrastructure. given that you yourself as National Treasury don't foresee a problem, you can't condone it. So can you not take it to the national, to every other person, even if it's a billionaire, taking them to that national revenue fund? Why do I want to punish these poor women who doesn't have capacity? Why should they be the one that carry the problem forward? Why is National Treasury a little bit unfair on them? It's a new function. It's a new, it's a new infrastructure. They don't even have an infrastructure. This problem is going to recur. I'm certainly when I'm seated here that it will recur because they don't have an infrastructure. I mean, I've listened to many problems that are happening in relation to this particular department. And I've been listening to National Treasury. National Treasury doesn't have a methodology or a model of how it deals with transitions. And now you are saying to us in a very gender insensitive way that to take from this one from their budget, but then the others, you don't say the same thing, who have committed more serious crimes than this one. Is that not a little bit unfair? Because you must give us as parliamentarians some satisfaction that we should not cripple. You see, because what they are saying that let's cripple this particular department. Because this problem is a recurring problem where there's no department and proper management. You are saying, no, go and take out of them. But social development, which has got a nice infrastructure and big budget, you say, no, go look at the National Revenue Fund. Is that not a little bit unfair? Is there a solution, not a problem to all of us?
What?
Chair, you see, my father was never home, was always working, and I was raised by my mother. And quite frankly, I want to walk the same line as Babu Boy. I really want to understand the rationale of Treasury. Since yesterday, we are being told, no, take from the National Revenue Fund, National Revenue Fund, and then today, all of a sudden, it comes to women. There's a deviation. Really, for me, this recommendation entrenches patriarchy of the highest order. I see it as a recommendation of bullying, in fact. Because the political dynamics of this department are well known. In fact, I was at appropriations when the then minister of this department was there trying to explain these things. And I don't think that it was departmental things. It was issues of the minister at the time. And now to then punish the department on the recklessness of the then minister, I think it's unfair. It's well known. It's issues that are publicized and we can't hide under rock about them. I would really plead with National Treasury to make us understand their rationale for this particular recommendation, which is a deviation from all the others. I don't. And of course, but at the same time, to say that the issues speak to a transition and that we are now in another transition because the Department of Women has moved back to the presidency. So one would want to find out from the department themselves now whether they are putting in place their own internal systems to better manage their own transitions, because it's the second time now that this is happening, so that we don't find ourselves in a similar situation and that we don't find ourselves faced with a recommendation which bullies them again. So, and Chair, the final issue is to say what actions were taken by the department? Were these expenditures within the parameters of the law? To take how many people for 14 days, for me that was a vacation, in fact, because we must also be honest with the department to say whilst we are sensitive to, you know, the recommendation, but I think that the department must also take some responsibility to say that with the limited resources, they must not be flamboyant with the expenditure and now, you know, gallivanting all over the world when the issues really which need to be addressed are very much at grassroots. If this money was, we're saying, it was money that was being spent on rural women, then I'd have, you know, even greater sympathy. So my sympathy is compounded now by the fact that this was just a jolt. So it's those kind of things which then put us in a difficulty. But I would want to take the moral high ground and say that I think Treasury is being very unfair. I want to understand their rationale.
All right. I was taking my notes. That's why I was raising the issue of the Women's Day celebration. That out of that 3.7 million, 2.5 was on hosting the event. And that budget was with arts and culture. And the department did not ask that money. It went ahead and used its own money. So, but I'm sure you can respond to the queries.
Thank you, honorable members, for the question. And I think, in a way, I also feel the same way. But I think we also need to take into account the circumstances under which the Ovesh Benji took place. I think we had numerous communications with the departments to give an indication that you are going to overspend. But the department still went ahead with whatever activities they planned, and then they overspent. So I think that in the light of the circumstances and the departments not heeding to the call of the National Treasury and still go ahead of expenditure, I don't think that we are in a position actually to condone that over-expenditure. I think since the over-expenditure, we developed a turnaround plan with the department. And I think from the time the over-expenditure took place and there's a new DG and new management in place and new minister, I think we managed to turn around the department, and the department is now able to spend within the allocated budget. I think we came a long way from 2010 up to now. I think the department is really now taking care of its budget and taking care that it's spending within the allocated limits.
I'm sure you're fairly aware that they're expressing a sentiment, and sentiments usually must be guided. Well, there's no way that you could say to us that at one time you were so angry with them that you then came to a conclusion that they must be punished. You don't want us to take that point of view. You don't want us to be emotional, because could have been seen equally emotional with DTI yesterday. DTI yesterday was doing the same things. I mean, they were passionately argued here about Taiwan is disappearing, and they went about spending how they wanted to condone, and Treasury was saying, go and fund that money, National Development Fund. You see, they didn't say the same thing yet, you see. After your passionate and anger, now you are saying to us, no, there's good progress. But your resolution is the problem, you see. You are impressed about your turnaround strategy. Then why didn't it come in to say, fine, now there's an improvement, let's not recover it. Our concern is like recovering it from the same department that doesn't exist. In reality, doesn't exist. You see, in the fifth term of parliament, it does have a lot of challenges. And the legacy of Treasury is that when there's change of in the executive, it doesn't accommodate that. You see, it doesn't accommodate it in the presidency. It doesn't accommodate it in social development. It doesn't accommodate it in DTI. But the only one that gets punished, which my brother here from Natal has put it very nice, I mean, that it's patriarchy of the worst order. It's an entrenchment of that thing from an ideological point of view. And we can't. I mean, you are the ones that are recommending will make the decision. But you wanted you to persuade us that what is it that this department that is new, that is trying to find its foot, can't it be that it goes to the National Revenue Fund, where there's all the overall, I mean, people don't spend money, spend their time there in the National Revenue. Why are you not digging there for this poor 3 million and pay it off and allow them and give them an opportunity with your new understanding that they've got a turnaround strategy and give them also an opportunity to build themselves? Will we be wrong as parliamentarians to arrive at such a decision at the right time? Because practically you're just saying that you're just very angry with them. Oh, you're not angry with them. Okay, thank you.
The Chair, mine is, it should not be construed
as if we are condoning the maladministration that was in the department. That should not be, the conclusion here. Because I can see the departmental representatives are so excited that we are taking their side. We are saying you are equally responsible for what happened in the department. And we are saying from now going forward, you need to make sure that you put systems in place so that such issues don't, that is, we don't have, that is the reoccurrence, that is, of such issues.
All right. Just to say that, as with everybody else, we're here today to listen. We'll still take a decision. It's more like in court. When the judge is asking questions, don't think you have won the case. You'll be surprised when the verdict comes at the end. And Hlengwe, the person who signed off that the department should save is a woman. So it can't be patriarchy. If it was a man, who would say maybe he has patriarchal tendencies. I think let's deal with the substance of the issues. And I think Sam was correct to say some of these things are things that we've heard and we've known, all the politics around them. How then do we apply the law on those politics? Away from how we feel, how he was brought by his mother. I had three elder sisters, so I grew up, but how do we apply the PFMA, being gender neutral, but dealing with the facts? I think I just want to stress that's what we're going to do. We're merely trying to understand, settle our feet on the issues. I think this is also equally a straightforward case. I'm not sure, Shema.
Prompted by what you were saying, I understand the issue. So that's why I was asking Treasury to take us through their rationale for this recommendation.
Okay.
Putting all the niceties of the political rhetoric, that's why my first question was the rationale of the of this particular recommendation. And I was yet to hear it, but...
All right. No, it's fine. I think you're right. Maybe we'll overlook that. National Treasurer, are you able to say anything further in terms of how what the law says, what was expected, what was not done vis-a-vis the law that brought you to that conclusion? I think that's the taking away all the other things. That's what it boils down to.
Mr. Chairman, I think that I cannot really say more. All that I can say, at that time, we had various communication with the department. We had various meetings with the department to say that if you are going to spend the way you are spending, you are going to overspend. And the department did not heed our call at that time and to limit the expenditure and to look at the expenditure. There was no systems in place to actually make sure that they are spending within their budget, and that led to their over expenditure. So I think with the circumstances around the expenditure, and I think that I think we sort of always work with the department to make sure that the department does things within the allocated budget, and the department didn't need to occur. And based on that, we cannot recommend anything else but not to condone that over expenditure.
All right. No, that's fine. We've heard you, and thank you very much. And I'm not sure if there's anything the department would want to say or add. We have received your additional information, which I think would go a long way in assisting us when we go through the decision process on our own. But I just wanted to check if there's anything you would want to add on the matter as a department.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Just firstly, a typo on slide 4, a second bullet, where we say if the request is condoned without funding. We are saying if it's condoned with funding.
Bullet point number?
The second bullet point, Chairperson, under conclusion. Yes.
If the request to condone
with funding is turned down.
Yeah.
Chair, I think when one goes through the 2010-2011 annual report of the then Department of Women, Children and People with Disability, one gets a picture of what was happening at the time. Page 13 of the report indicates that the key program responsible for issues of financial management was non-existent at the time. The department was reliant on the president's corporate services. I'm not putting blame on the president. It is clear that there were, as the treasurer has indicated, the systems were non-existent. And then in the same report, when one goes through the AGE's report, one really sees a picture of what was happening. There was no internal audit, there was no risk management, there was no audit committee, there were no monthly reports. The systems that are there laid down by the PFMA to guide and lead the leadership in the department. So therefore, the senior management at the time and the executive authority were not properly guided in terms of systems that to be put in place. However, we are now talking about a department that is also no more. But since then, the CFO was appointed and systems have been put in place. A turnaround strategy was implemented, was developed and implemented, and we are seeing a completely different picture. And if you look at the AG's report and the dashboard that the AG gives us, we have moved from it. At the time, the dashboard was red all over. Now we are more green and a couple of yellow. So we are in transition. As the then minister would say, from red to mainly green. So we have a story to tell, and it's a good story, honorable members, in terms of the turnaround of the department. But also, Chair, I would like to also add to say that, so we've got systems in place now. The executive authority is alerted timeously in terms of what's happening. But also, the CSW is one of the international obligations that we, as the country, have signed, and it's a forum, international forum, where issues of women are discussed at length. And what we have done, though there's no really legislation to inform in terms of the delegation and everything else, what we have done is to stagger the participation so that the delegation does not go there for the 14 days and stay there for the 14 days. So others would advance and participate in the first sessions of the CSW, and others would go later. And as honorable members would know, there's a lot of other side events that take place. So it's difficult to have one, two people, because there's a main event, but there's other side events hosted by different countries. So you want to also learn from the experiences, but also us, as the country, we sometimes sponsor our own site events so that you need people that are going to be there to look at what's happening. So we have staggered now the delegation so that we don't have the 9 delegates going all at the same time and staying for the whole 14 days period. But we appreciate the support, Chairperson. We are now going through another transition. We have transferred the children's and people with disabilities function to the Department of Social Development, and I wish that the DG was here. We are also in other negotiations now in terms of what support function do we transfer to DSD as an established department. Can we not transfer support functions, but rather transfer the key functions that the president has declared should be transferred? So we have gone through those robust debates and engagements, because in terms of if they apply clinically, the principles of the National micro organization of the state, we need to have transferred about 40 odd support staff, which leaves us really without any personnel. But we have agreed on about 8 support staff, but even there we are negotiating. So we're going through another challenge in this transition, but we're managing it, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, Comrade.
Ma'am, we want to caution you. This thing of the international trip and your justification doesn't make you to spend our money. Please, don't take it that we are saying that they're doing a good job by traveling around the world. Just leave it. Don't take it that in this committee we are so excited that we are traveling around with 9 people. Just leave it now. Because when you come back here, you'll be under 5. We are just dealing with an unauthorized expenditure now. But we are not saying that take along 100 people and travel around the world. Women are here in the rural areas. Please, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Okay, I suppose we will leave it at this. But once again, to thank you for your flexibility and being able to make it so that we can go through this process, and then as a committee we can then sit down, discuss, recommend to Parliament, and have this thing, you know, sorted out of your books once and for all. We also want to thank National Treasury. Well, we'll still see you next week, fortunately. Sasa, thank you very much. comrades, until next week, Tuesday. Thank you.